today.
Delaney live from the Gulf Coast of Mississippi. Thrilled to be here. Thrilled to welcome to the show right off the bat, William Richardson. Boy, does he have a tale to tell us. William, thanks for joining us. Without further ado, William Richardson joins us, and he was responsible for the hurricane relief fund that raised $34 million for the people who so desperately needed it in this area here in Mississippi. Mississippi, of course, as you know, the forgotten state when it came to Hurricane Katrina, because no offense to the people from New Orleans, but all the focus was there because of the levees, and it seems to me that people neglected Mississippi. Do you think so?
We had a hurricane. Our neighbors had a flood.
Exactly. And you know what?
A man-made flood.
That's the big difference. Absolutely. Now, let's talk about this. So if we wind the clock back, tell me about, first of all, what it was like afterwards. How do the people come together? I had some friends that lived down here, and literally their house just blew away. Nothing, just foundation left.
There were a lot of those. It was just a devastating storm. All the words have been said. What it was like, I live in Jackson, about 180 miles north of here. I keep a house on the coast, and the day after the storm, my neighbor called and said, "You want me to cut your air conditioner off?" And I thought, well, I don't even have a house. And he said, "Yeah, you do." And I didn't know him. I hadn't owned it long, so I loaded up my truck and put 40 gallons of gas in my back just to make sure I could get up and back. Came down here, and for those that don't know, there's a interstate connection called I-110 that drops off of the interstate east-west I-10. It's a big, tall bridge, and when I topped that bridge, it was like a moonscape. All the salt water had, and this is within 24, 48 hours of the storm, the salt water had killed all the vegetation. There was no green. It was gray, and it was quite hot, but very gray, and nobody moving because nobody was there. And then within a half a mile or so from topping the Back Bay Bridge, I was near the beach. And there was nothing there. It was gone. Except for my little house, which by some quirk of nature stayed. And there was a building that blocked the storm that parted the waters and saved my little house.
Wow.
The sad thing was I'm a part-time house person there, and all my neighbors live there. And this was their worldly possession. And this was just something I had. Got all the stuff out of it. I had 6 feet of water, but other than that, I had a house. Then, in all my forethinking, I did not bring a drop of water with me. You know, you go to the sink, cut the water off. Guess
sure.
what? We didn't have water.
Not
electricity, no water. And that's where my involvement in the recovery period started. That as I was driving out of town, there were these people in a grocery store parking lot giving away water. So I stopped, and I wanted to pay them for the water, and they wouldn't let me pay. And I was too tired to get out and work because I had to drive back home. And that's when I decided I needed to do something and called the governor and said, if you need something, let me know. And about 30 minutes later, he called back and said, I want you to head up a nonprofit that we will be establishing. By the way, can you come down in the morning? Let's get this done. At the time, I wasn't a real advocate of nonprofits. I had some negative opinions about nonprofits, and for the most part, I wasn't too wrong, but there are some good ones.
And yours was one of the good ones.
No. We set up something, and we jumped about raising private money that could be leveraged with federal dollars, and that was the intent of what we did. It was we had no staff. I worked for 3 years as a volunteer, 40, 50 hours a week. And just kind of got caught up in it. And from that, met some new friends on the coast. And we've done some fun projects since then. The most recent that you haven't heard about, but I was going to tell you about, was we have a homeless shelter apartment complex. Tried to do a shelter. Nobody wanted it in their backyard. One day I thought, well, I can buy this apartment complex, and it's already zoned, and you can't stop me. So now we have 56 units. We're about a little over half occupied in 2 months. 2 bedrooms, 1 bath. You get knives, forks, spoons, sheets, cookery, and a roof over your head. And this is the real weird part. I'm not a social worker. I don't know a darn thing about this. They kept telling me these people lived in the woods. They did. All of them that I've met literally have come out of the woods, own bicycles if they're fortunate, and the rules of living there is you will be in a training program, you're going to get self-sufficient, and you're going to move out when you can. And it's kind of a new concept. And how do you give somebody dignity and at the same time help them but make them help themselves?
What a terrific thing that you're doing, as you say, halfway full. So in the training program and what they have to agree to, obviously there's a screening process for those.
They all are case managed by nonprofits, that ugly word, that deal with homeless people. It's called a homeless coalition down here, a group of, I don't know who all, church groups and others that actually help and extend to homeless people. Well, I got those guys together and said, look, if we get the building, you're going to get the people, and will you manage your people? If you bring me somebody, they're going to be clear of any pending warrants or arrest. They will commit to monthly drug testing, and the civil rights lawyers are probably going to start calling you, and they will have no alcohol on premise.
Right.
And they will work to be trained and make something out of their life.
Yeah. How bad is the homeless problem?
No worse than anywhere else. It's a lot worse than, I don't know if you've looked into it, there's a great book in your community about homeless. I'm trying to remember the name, and I can't. A Lot Like Me or something like
that. I know what you're talking about, yeah.
After I started this, gosh, they're everywhere. You know, you ride down the road, you don't see them, and suddenly when you become aware that they're the invisible, they said, look, there they are. And we're having a community event next week to bring them all in. And like our organization is going to give them shoes. I mean, this is way off why you're here.
This is fascinating.
It's a story, though.
I think it's I wonder if there are other places doing this. I mean, who knows how this could spread to other states.
Yeah, I want this to be a model. It is a prototype of a new wave that's happening, putting them in cubes and abandoned buildings or flop houses. That gives them nothing. This gives them the dignity. When we have an apartment association, they self-manage.
Right.
You know, we got I could say a lot of things that would get me in trouble here, but we've got our renters managing themselves and setting and enforcing their rules.
Sure. Wow, what a terrific thing that you're doing. So is that part of the $34 million, or that's out the window? Well, that's gone
That's been gone. This is part of a nonprofit that Ellen Radner, who helped with this and whose idea this was,
right,
and got me involved, they have a nonprofit there, whoever has a nonprofit. and I was helping a Salvation Army do one of these as a favor, and then suddenly they bailed on me, and I thought, well, I've come too far. I'd already started, and that's when I learned a little bit more about it and learned to fight that they don't want them, and I thought, okay. I'm from another world. I don't take no different as well as you do. I'm going to go do it anyway.
Right. And you decided you're just going to do it yourself. Did you have a lot of people all hands on deck? I mean, now that you're this guy that knows everybody and they owe you favors, did they all help you with the apartments?
Actually, I try to do things. This is the most I've ever talked about this. I'm a little bit angry that when we started this project, we were going to facilitate it. We're not building empires. We want to get it. My ultimate goal is to give it to the nonprofits.
I'm going to play golf. Hey, hang on, William. Can we continue this conversation? We're going to do that on the flip side right here on America Tonight. More with William Richardson. Again, we are live from the Gulf Coast of Mississippi. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. You don't want to go away.
Hurricanes, ice storms, blackouts, and the prospect of civil unrest. When the unexpected happens, will you be ready? Hundreds of concerned citizens across America have already installed wind generators to help protect their families in the event of a disaster. So act now and build your own wind generator with an easy-to-assemble kit from WindBluePower.com. WindBluePower carries the best battery-charging wind generators and permanent magnet alternators in the country. Our 12-volt wind generator kits are also great for small cabins and campers. And all WindBlue Power kits qualify for a 30% tax credit. So get your discount now. Go to WindBluePower.com today and enter coupon code RADIO for 5% off. Or simply call 800-976-0026. 800-976-0026. Protect your family's emergency energy needs now at WindBluePower.com.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
Looking for the ultimate superfood? One that will give you lasting energy, improve your sense of well-being, and help you build lean muscle? One World Whey is the first ever unheated whey protein powder on the market. Virtually all other whey protein powders on the market are heated. This damages 15% or more of the proteins, making them unusable to the body. Fresh raw whey has been used for hundreds of years to alleviate many health problems. The life-giving properties in raw whey are now available in One World Whey. Whether you want to build immunity, strength, endurance, muscle, slow down aging, or just feel a lot better, One World Whey may be the perfect food for you. One World Whey is also an ideal emergency preparedness food. Simply mix with water and you'll have a delicious, life-giving protein food in vanilla, chocolate, or strawberry. For your free report on the benefits of unheated whey protein powder, call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldwhey.com. That's 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldwhey.com.
Once again, continuing our conversation here in Mississippi with William Richardson, we're talking about the terrific thing that he's doing, that he put together this homeless shelter that's halfway full now. We'll discuss that a little later on the show, too, with some of you listening to us out there. But, William, let's talk a little bit about Mississippi. So now you have the oil spill. It happens in April, really carries through the summer. What did that do to tourism here?
It chilled it a little bit. And I said this before we went on the air, I think. It was a media hype just for the geography of what happened. The oil well that made such fame is on a straight line south of the border between Alabama and Mississippi. Did you know that?
No.
If you literally look at the state line and continue out in the Gulf, that's where the well was. It is Louisiana water by quirk of fate. And that same quirk is what protected our beach. The Mississippi River and the Pearl River, the dividing line between Louisiana and Mississippi, their currents go out and turn east. That's how the state line was determined. They floated a barrel down the Pearl River and tracked it. And right south of where you're sitting now is Louisiana, and it hooks out under us.
Sure.
So we had this current thing going on, and then the winds and all this, or, you know, current things of nature. We didn't get any oil. We had a limited amount of oil after the show's over. As you go back to the hotel, look out on the beach, and there are little people. Oop, that's that Englishman's term. There are people in green vests, the BP color, mm-hmm. walking along the edge of the water, picking up something. But it's not tar bottles. I don't know. You know, they're still BP.
They're still doing it.
BP's been very good in spite of a lapse of thinking. They've done a great job of recovering and trying to help out and get things kicked off again. I said this kidding. I don't remember if we were on the air now. I wasn't kidding. The media overhyped it. Louisiana had a problem, and then to the east of us, the Dustin and Gulf Shores, Alabama, they had globs, you know, hand size and bigger. I grew up playing around on these beaches, and we were always stepping in something sticky, and it'd get on your foot, and you'd get in trouble when you tracked it back in. But the tar balls, they're naturally produced out there from seepage. That's about all we had.
Wow. And so what do you do to counteract it? Do things like Radio Row, right?
Well, you give the girl the golden monkey. She came from Dallas to figure it out. We're going to try to get the word out that we, A, never were in business. It took us a while. We're slow. We got it figured out. We need to tell people that we don't have 10 feet of oil stacked up on our beach. We have clean, white beaches. We have fresh water. You'll eat fish tonight that came from that water. Fish-type critters. It's here, and we never lost it. It was a devastating thing, again, to a lot of real estate investors in the Gulf Shores area whose condos were canceled. Our backbone is the gaming industry and other tourism-related things, not condo rental and come stack up in the line and wait at the traffic light while you're on vacation.
I gotcha.
Easy shot. I couldn't miss it.
I gotcha on that one. You know, I was talking to a cab driver, though, coming in, and she just was talking very friendly, doing the distance from the airport to the Beau Rivage, where, of course, we're staying. And she said it was just crippling, and it's so sad over the summer because she couldn't understand, why aren't people coming here? I don't understand what they're talking about.
It's that militant Yankee press. It was just a total, you know, it was a news item, 15 minutes of news. They blew it up, the whole Gulf Coast. Well, we were forgotten in Katrina. Why couldn't they have forgotten us here? But
right.
And I'm not diminishing the effect. Louisiana marshes, God help them. The real estate market in the panhandle of Florida and through southern Alabama, it's hit. And they'd already gone through the second wave. This is the second, actually third wave, hurricane. Decline of the dollar or the market failure, and now you have this tar stuff running around. In our community, we had the hurricane. About 4 years later, we were propped up going again. The market crashed. That slowed the tourism business down. But bright people run casinos. In tourism, they revamped their marketing program, and we're off again. And then all of a sudden, we're 9 feet under oil.
And that
slowed them down for a couple of months. We are back. We never left. My grandchildren came down this summer, and no, I'm not a bad grandparent. We used my boat. We played on the beaches, and I don't have any oil tracked into my house.
Primarily, where are most of the people when they come in for the gambling or come in for fishing, because you mentioned your boat, fishing is huge here. Where are the people coming from in the United States? Neighboring states or Midwest?
There's two things. One, you will be surprised. Back before the Interstate 10 was built east to west, we were the closest place to the Midwest to the beach. So in the 50s and early 60s, this place was hopping. This was the tour joint. And they did have possibly a casino slot machine or two scattered around. Then they built the interstate. It died. The market went away, but we still have snowbird traffic that plays golf. I'll walk outside, and it's 40, 50 degrees. I think, ooh. I look around here, all these snowbirds from Minnesota, and I can't use that accent, but, you know, they're down here talking about how great the weather is, and they're going to hit a golf ball. And I'm thinking, ooh. So we have a large wintertime golf program. We have some great golf courses. At one time, I couldn't have said that, but with the coming of the casinos and the peripheral properties, we've got all the name brands, as we were talking about, designer courses. Good golf and good weather for golf.
Right, so that pulls them in,
yeah,
too.
So,
do you have special events? I know there's like a Christmas thing. A lot of places do Christmas parades and whatever on the boats, that can bring people down.
We have almost weekly, and in fact, I would just go on the record, every week, if you can't find something to do down here, it's your own fault. Shame on you. We have Cruising the Coast. It was a couple of weeks ago. I think it was like 7,500 vintage cars come in, and the hot rods and burning their wheels, and the police kind of get out of the way, and it's wild. I mean, all that. It's like in high, well, I'm older than y'all, but in high school we had nowhere to do but run up and down the road. Highway 90 is a nonstop parking lot. the good thing that came out of the storm, if anything, the people now just set up their lawn chairs like some raceway from 10 or 12 miles down the beach because nobody has the house there that used to have a house. So they just put their little RVs and travel trailers and pickup trucks and Rolls Royces, literally, parked all up and down the beach. And they watch people burn their tires and talk about, yeah, do you remember when Sally and I went out on a date in that 55 Chevy?
Yeah, going way back in the memory banks. We want to know the big burning question we had coming to, of course, the convention center from the Beau Rivage for people listening to us. Just beautiful coastline. It is beautiful when you look over and see how far it stretches. What's with the Waffle Houses down here? How many Waffle Houses? I mean, that's my trivia question. I'm going to give away a John Grisham book. If you can tell me how many Waffle Houses there are between the Beau Rivage and the convention center.
Well, I happen to know the answer, so I can answer that, but I'll answer your question first. There are a lot more. One guy held up his hand for. You're not even in the league. Immediately after the storm, a little bit of confusion. Everybody that had any sense realized they're going to change the rules. So the folks like the Waffle House got about it. And they put those Waffle Houses, what are they? Just, you know, stacked block of nothing and easy to do. So they came back and built them quickly before the flood zones and the codes and everybody got, so they were grandfathered in. And that's why you'll see a Waffle House and for a half a mile any direction, there is nothing. They have always been very productive and a very good source of income. I ate at a Waffle House, one of your co-hosts here. Had me just take him to the Waffle House.
There you go. Take me to the Waffle House. I want something to eat.
He didn't want one of our famous pool boys. He wanted the Waffle House. Yeah, he's one of those Yankees from Boston.
Oh, there's another dig. We have a minute left. What would you want people to know about Mississippi, why they should come back to the Gulf Coast area, or why they should come here in the first place if they've never been?
Well, I like to think that everybody's friendly. Mississippians are a little more friendly. We're a generational thing. My grandfather, his grandfather, on the coast after the storm, we go back to the New Orleans thing, everybody was gone. 95% of our population within 6 months of the storm was living in the same zip code. We're vested here. We live here. And we are a social group of people. The amenities, if you haven't seen them, you've talked about them, the beaches, the fish, the various golf courses. We have a classic golf tournament. Now we have a seniors tour event. Mm-hmm. Lots of things down here. And arts didn't even go there with the paintings you mentioned. Grisham is the author. We have a great literary community here. Mm-hmm. A lot of things to do. You can find whatever you enjoy other than Disney World, and I hope we don't do one of those because I don't like a lot of traffic.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. What a treat to spend this much time with William Richardson, because everybody is dying to get a piece of him here on Radio Row. And I'll tell you, the people here, he's right, are very, very hospitable. I'm just blown away by their stories and how nice they've been to us. We certainly appreciate that. And we appreciate all of you listening to us coast to coast and all those nooks and crannies in between. So keep it here, locked and loaded on America Tonight.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
After my second heart attack, I knew I needed more help than I had. That's when ExtendoVite came into my life. Made from garlic, cayenne, and five other herbs, I started to feel better in a very short time. My name's Don Wiskin, and I'm here because of ExtendoVite.
ExtendoVite gave me more energy than I've had in years. I am the only one in my house right now that's not sick from colds or flus. And I owe that all to ExtendoVite. My name is Rick, and I'm healthy because of ExtendoVite. To get your ExtendoVite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit the website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
On air, online, and on demand, we are the GCN Radio Network.
If you're not satisfied with how your skin is aging and want a healthy, youthful glow with immediate results, get a facelift from the inside out with Vizuri. Like a mini facelift, only without needles or surgery, Vizuri is a revolutionary youth rejuvenation skincare system that's proven to work for your money back. Vizuri is all natural and chemical and preservative free. It helps reverse damage to complexions as a result of aging, stress, lifestyle, and pollution. Vizuri reduces skin pore size, firms, lifts, and tightens, leaving you with soft, silky, shiny skin and looking years younger. You may have seen Vizuri reviewed by CBS TV News. Now see how Vizuri is helping men and women get a fountain of youth facelift at avatarfacial.com and click on CBS TV News to see video of the amazing Vizuri skincare system. Call 888-203-5278. That's 888-203-5278 or go to avatarfacial.com, spelled A-V-A-T-A-R facial.com, and click on CBS TV News. Vizuri, the fountain of youth facelift.
Is it really possible to get out of debt without payment plans or attorneys?
18 years ago, we developed a program that has made thousands debt-free in just 90 days. It's called Zero Debt in 90 Days, and it works for all credit card debt, medical bills, even collection lawsuits.
When I first joined, I was being sued, so I used the program methods. And after filing one piece of paper, the collection lawsuit was dismissed.
With Zero Debt in 90 Days, your success is guaranteed in writing. There is no other program of its kind. Don't be alone when creditors gang up on you. Let our team of experts provide the resources to fight back and stop creditors in only 90 days, guaranteed. Prevent wage garnishments, bank levies, and stop collection calls with our proven program. Call Zero Debt in 90 Days now, 800-477-9256, and ask for free information from an expert who also completed our program. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
So what do you do to get tourists to come back to the Gulf Coast of Mississippi when there were so many news reports about tar balls and the oil spill and Katrina? We are pleased to welcome Mary Beth Wilkerson to the show. She's the director of tourism for the state of Mississippi for the Mississippi Development Authority. Mary Beth, thanks for hanging with us here on Radio Row. We appreciate your time.
It's our pleasure.
And if you could only know what we were doing before we jumped into this interview, the jokes going back and forth. She has such a great personality. She's a natural. She could have her own show, I'm telling you. And plus, I found out she hunts. So you know that program that Sarah Palin has where she's rock climbing and whatnot? I think she needs to be a guest on her show. But back to the serious matter of tourism. What, first of all, you have Katrina. Katrina happens. And what I've been told by several people is it was like you had turned a corner in the last year maybe or so, and that started to be behind you in the rearview mirror a little bit. More people were coming back and enjoying what they used to enjoy, and things were being rebuilt. Is that pretty accurate?
Absolutely. We had turned that corner, and for tourism, the industry was rebounding, and our numbers were coming up, and we were feeling really, really good about the industry here on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, which is a third of our tourism industry for the state of Mississippi. Visitor expenditures are right at $5.6 billion for the state, and a third of that comes from the three coastal counties here on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. So we were feeling really, really good about the product and the visitation here on the Gulf Coast. And then the spring happens and the oil spill crisis, and inquiries started declining, bookings started to decline, and we knew that we had to do something, and certainly with the help of BP and their donation of $15 million, we were able to join forces down here with our coastal partners and put together a very aggressive marketing campaign and PR campaign to let our consumers and our customers know that the product down here, the tourism product, was still vibrant and still viable. We've got the diverse type of product with our gaming and our golf and other non-water or beach-related tourism activities that we were able to get that message out that, come, we're open for business. Now is the time that we need you, particularly after going through what we did with Katrina. And going through this crisis right here, we knew that we had to do something and get the message out that we are open for business and we need you to come help sustain our tourism industry on the Gulf Coast.
So luckily, I mean, that was great. The BP chunked in the money and that you were doing the same thing. You're trying to combat that. But it was a rough summer from what I understood for some people, that it wasn't that nobody came back, but it was that that people kept thinking the beaches are ruined, so I can't walk the beach with my kids. I can't sit on the beach. I mean, I could stay at one of the hotels, but I'm not going to be able to do what we normally would do. So then when you get into the middle of summer, you just be as aggressive as you can to let everybody know that, no, here's some shots of the beach, here's what's going on. It's not what you think. It's not in our area. Is that what you did?
We were very aggressive in all forms of media, social networking, through the website, through e-blast, through television advertising, radio advertising, all means that we were out there sharing the message that we were open for business. So, yes, during the summer we did lose some of that summer, which is our high season here on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. But we are continuing that campaign now through the fall season and on into the first quarter of 11, which our snowbirds and our golfers that come down to say, come back, come spend your money now with us so we can make up for that lost summer business.
Yeah, you know, I was looking at a name tag that we have, and I like the line, wish you were here, Gulf Coast, Mississippi. That's what you're telling people. Wish you were here.
Wish
don't
were
go
here.
Away.
Don't go away. Wish you were here. Come here and experience all the great activities and events that are going on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. So that has been our branded campaign, Wish You Were Here. It's in all of our advertising, and we have great promotions. We have great sweepstakes and giveaways to incentivize people to come back and make Mississippi Gulf Coast part of their travel plans.
You know this because obviously with your job, director of tourism, you're before, of course, the oil spill hit, you have a plan. You're trying to reach out to maybe northerners or maybe some people you don't normally touch, maybe people that don't know about Mississippi. What would you tell the people who, it's easy for neighboring states, for people from Texas or Florida or Alabama, certainly Louisiana, and some of the other southern states to know, oh, yeah, Mississippi, we can take a ride down there. But would you tell people who aren't from this area, from this region, about Mississippi and why they should come here?
One of our main messages was to share that although we are a coastal destination, that our product is very diverse here on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. And you've got heritage and culture here in Mississippi, unlike any other state. You've got a gaming industry here that offers top-name entertainment and other amenities. So the message was to share with, also with our regional market, but with the national audience, about the diversity of our product.
Now, when you say diversity of the product, tell me a little bit about that, because I don't know, the culture, what are we talking about?
Well, as we have positioned it, you have quaint coastal towns on each side of this core of a gaming industry. So you can come here and experience the excitement of gaming and top-name entertainment, but then you can get out and experience the artisans of the community, the culture. The Mad Potter was here from here on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, Walter Anderson, the Great Islands that you can take ecotourism trips and experience that. So it's the charm and the quaintness of Mississippi and people like none other you've ever experienced. The hospitality and the warmth of the region adds to our offering.
Yeah. Typically, I would agree with that just in the short time I've been here. I mean, of course, that's your job, but I'm just throwing it out there that's what I think, that's what I've seen from the people. What so you go through the summer, and now here we are, and we're talking about winter again. So do you, your campaign then is to gear things because of how many tourists you expect to come back, I would assume, on the flip side of 2011, right?
Correct.
So you start working on 2011. So how do you put, you want to put this in your rearview mirror too? I mean, BP gave you the check and everything, but the oil spill happened. How do you get that out? How do you put that away?
It's about being aggressive and continuing to be aggressive and working through these next few months with the campaign, maintaining a campaign that would entice people to come in the spring, in the summer next year when they said, oh, we wouldn't dare go there this past summer, but it seems like everything is fine now. Let's make our plans to go to Mississippi, certainly to support the region, but now we know more about what there is on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, mm-hmm. and it's enticing to them.
Did you grow up in Mississippi?
Absolutely.
You did.
Northeast Mississippi, about 18 miles south of Tupelo,
mm-hmm.
where Elvis Presley was born.
And you heard that from the time you came out of the womb, right?
Absolutely, yes.
So what's the charm, or what's the difference of the coastal areas, the three coastal areas that you're talking about? Tell us about the coastal areas, the three areas.
Well, the three counties down here on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, you've got Hancock County, Harrison County, and Jackson County. And as I mentioned earlier, you've got the two anchors on each side that really have that cultural, artisan, crafters type feel to them. Small town Mississippi,
mm-hmm.
is what you find in those areas. And then in the core with Biloxi and Gulfport and Harrison County, you do have that gaming entity and the attractive nightlife and spa and other attractions of that area.
Typically, what is the tourism number? What is it you're shooting for? Like, you must have, you seem like a planner, so you have a plan. That's why you have the job that you have. Unlike myself, I'm disorganized. So you have a plan. What do you shoot for? Like, is it a number? Is it a number and region? And what do you do planning?
Well, you know, we're looking at, from a campaign standpoint, we have that target market. But from a number standpoint, we are shooting back to get back to pre-Katrina numbers and even more. And that is to, right now, we've got about 19 million visitors that come to the state of Mississippi, and about a third of those that come to the Mississippi Gulf Coast. So we're looking to get back to those pre-Katrina numbers or more. And certainly when people come to visit your area, they are spending money on their lodging. They're spending money on their activities
yeah.
and restaurants and food, and that's all a part of the state's economy. And as I mentioned before, you know, tourism is a big part of Mississippi's economy.
Yeah. The gaming industry, we talked about that, and you're famous for that. Are there plans for more casinos? Are there people that want to come in and do some more casinos? Or
I think there are possibly some things on the table, some possible plans for expansion of the industry down here and across the state of Mississippi. You know, we have gaming in Tunica, Mississippi, which is just south of Memphis, and other areas along the Mississippi River, Vicksburg, Natchez. You know, what they have brought in is great economic resources for the state of Mississippi, as well as expand our tourism product offerings,
mm-hmm.
with spas and golf courses and shopping elements.
I'm from Philadelphia, so what do they sell in Philadelphia? They sell Rocky and cheese steaks.
I think we've got a good product down here, don't you?
That's what I'm asking you. What would you say if somebody was coming here? What would you tell them to eat? What is Mississippi? You can't get that anywhere else. You can't get that in crummy old Philly or in Minnesota or wherever.
Well, it's good Southern cuisine down here, whether it's gumbo on the Mississippi Gulf Coast or it's tamales in the Mississippi Delta or fried catfish or, as we say, fried anything down here. It all tastes good because it's about the seasoning and it's about putting people in places to enjoy food. It's experience.
Fried anything. I'm going to, Mary Beth, I mean, already.
Fried pickles?
You're going to have to hire me a trainer before I get out of here. Are you kidding? Some of that fried catfish pickles. Ooh, I like fried pickles. Mary Beth, it's been a pleasure to have you here on Radio Row with us on America tonight. We appreciate your time.
It's been my pleasure. I'm really glad you're here.
And you know what? Come back to the Gulf Coast. It's a beautiful area. So keep here on America.
Got a light, Jessica?
Nope.
But you're smoking.
I don't need a light. It's a Smoke Genie electronic cigarette.
Really?
You haven't tried them? It's just like the real thing, but better. It's so much cheaper. There's no tar and burning, and you can take just a few puffs and put it right back in your purse. You can even smoke one of these where regular cigarettes are banned.
Seriously? I'm sick of people telling me where I can and can't smoke.
I tell you, it's great. There's a bunch of them out there, but Smoke Genie is way superior in flavor, quality, shipping, and customer service.
I don't know. I've been smoking cigarettes forever. Not sure I could change.
Listen, there's a 30-day no-questions-asked money-back guarantee. You've got nothing to lose. I wish they had Smoke Genie 10 years ago. I would have saved a ton of money. And my clothes don't smell like smoke anymore.
Really? That's great.
And Smoke Genie even has next day delivery. Go to SmokeGenieCigs.com today and use the code RADIO for 10% off your order.
SmokeGenieCigs.com and code RADIO for 10% off? I'm in.
As gardeners, we can all relate.
What do you do with all of the excess food that you grow?
Freezing or canning may have been the process you've used, but the good folks at Excalibur Dehydrator have a healthy alternative to preserve the fruits of your labor. The Excalibur Dehydrator will help you preserve your fruits and vegetables quickly and easily, so you don't have to worry about premature spoiling. You can also use your Excalibur Dehydrator year-round to make delicious jerky. And the best part? The foods you dehydrate are free from excess additives, salt, and preservatives. And that's something we can all do without. To learn more and to order your very own Excalibur Dehydrator, visit drying123.com and see how the Excalibur Dehydrator can help you preserve your favorite foods.
Mention coupon code GCN and receive a free book on how to preserve your foods.
Again, that's drying123.com, drying123.com, or call 1-800-875-4254. That's 1-800-875-4254 today.
Energy. This world has so much energy, yet our bodies are lacking. What if you could tap into something that gave you more energy? What if you could drink a beverage and receive more energy? Well, Life Change Tea is your answer. Our number one compliment is people receiving more energy. And our product is all natural and no caffeine. And think about this. If you have more energy, you get more done. What a concept! If you are desiring more energy and a healthier lifestyle, it's time to drink Life Change Tea. Our name hints to our success. So here's how to order. Call us, 928-308-0408. Again, that's 928-308-0408. Or you can log on to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. And remember, there's only $3 shipping on your complete order. Again, more energy, more success. That's getthetea.com.
Continuing here on Radio Row, thrilled to be here. So terrific that Mississippi hosted us. Of course, the Gulf Coast of Mississippi, that's specifically where we are. Think of Biloxi. Think of the Beau Rivage. Think of Waffle Houses. And then you know what we've seen. And there are a lot of interesting things that are still to be seen. And we'll talk about that on the air. And we've had some great conversations already. Joining us now on the program is Jack Norris. He is from the Gulf Coast Business Council. So he's really the stat man. He's going to give us the stats. It's like when we talk about football and we care about the percentages of the quarterbacks, like what's Michael Vick going to do, for example, for the Eagles this upcoming weekend. He's kind of like the quarterback. Jack, you are the quarterback. Thanks for joining us on America Tonight.
Well, thank you for being here.
Let's talk about business and what. First of all, let's go back to Katrina, and we've been talking about that with everybody who stopped by. How devastating was Katrina business-wise for you? Before you answer, I'm going to tell you a story. I have a friend from Mississippi, and her boyfriend was an attorney, and a good attorney, but the office closed down because work went away because things were destroyed. So he ended up in Dallas, and people move to Dallas or they moved further up north. So obviously some business people relocated.
Right.
How tough was it after Katrina?
It was extremely tough. I mean, Mississippi bore the brunt of Katrina, and there was absolute devastation of our infrastructure. Over 60,000 homes were severely or major had major damage. Over 100,000 homes statewide had damage. So it was extremely difficult on our businesses. You know, unemployment dropped significantly in the months after the storm. But we rebounded quickly. One of the keys was we got our schools open in a very short period of time. I think by 2-3 months, 3 months after the storm, all of our schools were back open. They were in temporary facilities, but they were back open. That was one of the key things for people to be able to come back and go back to work is, you know, the schools being open so the kids had a place to go during the day. But it did have a devastating impact on our economy. I will tell you, we've bounced back strong. We're still down about 9,000 jobs from our pre-Katrina levels.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the fact that the Mississippi Gulf Coast, in a five-year period, we were hit by the worst natural disaster in American history, the Great Recession, the worst recession since the Great Depression, and now the oil spill, our employment level is still below the state and national averages. So through all that, we've fared really well, and our businesses have come back stronger. We're just like everywhere else in the country. We're anxious to see growth
mm-hmm.
and further progression out of the recession. But we have a very resilient economy.
So when you say a resilient economy and you're trying to get those jobs back and whatnot, what really thrives? What's really happening here? What are the biggest businesses? Obviously, the casino and gaming industry.
But we have Northrop Grumman has a shipyard in Pascagoula, Mississippi, which is the state's largest employer. Chevron has its largest refinery in their system in Pascagoula, Mississippi. We have a number of other large businesses. But if you look at the core base of our economy, it's pretty diverse. We have a very strong military and federal presence. Our military and federal installations employ well over 20,000 people down here. Our tourism industry is very strong with over 20,000 employees and an economic impact of well over $1 billion a year. And our manufacturing base is strong. Again, it's over 20,000 employees. So the core of our economy, when you look at military federal installations, manufacturing, and tourism, they're pretty equally distributed, and all of them are strong and resilient and have really come back stronger than pre-Katrina. We have a long way to go, but the state and federal leaders invested heavily in long-term infrastructure in our tourism industry, like this convention center facility we're mm-hmm. in today, which is a first-class facility. The federal government invested heavily in all our military installations, which shows their long-term commitment. So that's the core of our economic base. And, military adds a layer of stability. Our manufacturing base is heavy government contracts, but the good thing about that is we're not as subject to the drops in consumer demand that some other industries are. You know, the Pentagon is still buying ships from Northrop Grumman.
Right.
So there's a stability there in our manufacturing base, and we continue to invest in attractions in our tourism industry to grow that sector of our economy.
Growing that sector, what is it you're wanting to invest in or you are investing in?
For the tourism?
Yeah,
sector?
For the tourism.
Well, one is this convention center that we're sitting in is a great example of that. It's over 400,000 square feet of some of the nicest facilities you'll find anywhere in the country. And Katrina recovery dollars and local dollars were invested in this facility. We continue to invest in museums. So the Orr O'Keefe Museum, designed by architect Frank Gehry, is about complete, and it'll be a first-class museum, and there are many other examples like that. We've invested heavily in our airport, our primary airport down here, the Gulfport Biloxi Airport, which I'm sure you saw when you flew in.
Mm-hmm.
It is essentially a brand-new, after the renovations, first-class facility. So long-term investments were made in assets that contribute to our tourism economy.
Looking at, we're talking a lot about Katrina, but looking at what happened after the oil spill, how much of a chunk did that, you know, how much of that set you back when you're talking about the jobs and pre-Katrina and all that sort of stuff? What did the oil spill do? How much of a dent did that make?
When you look at just hard economic indicators like employment and sales tax revenue and other factors, it's difficult to assess what impact was merely the recession and national economy and what impact was the oil spill. There's no question the oil spill had a major impact on individuals and individual industries. But as a whole, our economy fared well through the oil spill. There are signs that in some areas it may have slowed recovery from the recession, and some areas even reversed progress from the recession. But if you just look at sales tax data, for example, across the three coast counties, the coast region, our sales tax revenue was up for two consecutive quarters, in the third quarter and second quarter. Up just slightly, but it's the first time that it's been up over prior year for 13 consecutive quarters.
Wow.
So even though it was up just slightly, it's still a positive sign. We were seeing quarter over quarter drops, significant drops in sales tax revenue, so there seems to be a leveling out. And so the third quarter, through the oil spill, we still saw that trend continue, that our sales tax revenue is leveling out and even improving a little bit. Some of that is due because there was a significant presence of BP contractors.
Mm-hmm.
They were, you know, spending money and staying in our hotels and spending money.
Right.
So that did have some
impact on the spike.
On the spike, but all in all, I think we're seeing at a minimum a leveling out from the recession, from a employment level and sales tax revenue level.
The BP contractors that obviously they're still around. Some of them are still around. We're talking about the beaches and what. Do you anticipate that their presence will still be felt here for a while?
I believe it will. Since the well's capped and we're no longer seeing the extent of the physical impacts of the spill, that's winding down significantly. BP does still have a presence, and they are still monitoring our beaches and so forth closely, but that has declined significantly.
Yeah. In moving forward and growing these investments and reaching out to businesses, why and Northrop Grumman, the military, as you said, very stable because they need the ships, et cetera. What other businesses, though, would you like to attract to Mississippi? Would you like to see come here?
One of the areas that we're very excited about in the Gulf South as an entire region, from Louisiana all the way over to Florida, is the potential for the continuing emergence of the aerospace industry in our region. Mississippi is home to Stennis Space Center, which is an absolutely incredible facility. It has over 20 federal, state agencies and universities located there, and a number of aerospace companies. And you go over from, if you look at just the region as a whole, you have the Michoud NASA facility in New Orleans, Stennis Space Center in Hancock County, Mississippi. Northrop Grumman has an unmanned aerial vehicle production facility in Jackson County, and the Brooklyn Complex in Mobile, Eglin Air Force Base in Florida. So we think there's a lot of potential for growth in the aerospace industry. EADS is currently competing with Boeing on an Air Force tanker project. They've selected Mobile, Alabama for their location. If they are successful in that bid, it will have an enormous impact on the entire Gulf South region and that emerging industry.
Yeah. Jack Norris, thanks so much for stopping by. We appreciate your time. Jack Norris, of course, Gulf Coast Business Council. It was a pleasure meeting you.
Pleasure meeting you. Thank you for being here.
The best of luck, stats man, as you try to keep those stats going in the right direction. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, I want to tell everybody listening, remember, you can catch us on Twitter or Facebook and hit us up on americatonight.net.